Gracious God, send your Holy Spirit upon us so that we may understand your word for our lives. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Now then, who had toast for breakfast this morning? Quite a few. What about yesterday? Anyone get through the day without bread in any form, not eating any bread at all, toast, rolls, wraps, pita, none at all? Oh, three people in the whole congregation. Managed to get through the day without any form of bread. So you four are pretty unusual. We, of course, are fortunate to enjoy other food as well. Meat and veg and fruit and dairy, we have lots and lots to enjoy. In fact, maybe we enjoy our food a bit too much. There is an obesity crisis in the Western world. I don't know if you've noticed, but the obesity crisis seems to have extended to cookery books. The new ones are huge, with enormous colour plates. The first ones I ever bought were discreet little paperbacks with small print and line drawings. But everything is bigger and better now, of course. And heavy. They're heavy. Why do we eat too much? I think the answer is simple. Our natural appetites are greater than our natural needs. Food gives energy for life, but we crave more and more. Why? Well, there are all sorts of reasons, I think. For comfort, for contentment, for satisfaction. And, unfortunately, instead of life, too much food can lead to death. Diabetes, heart disease, all sorts of other problems. It's in our DNA, unfortunately. Craving for food is part of the human condition. And those who lived in first century Palestine were no different. They too longed for food. But there was a major difference. In their case, they didn't have much of it. Archaeology has shown that 80%, this is from studying the bones, 80% lived on a diet of bread and olives. That's it. Bread and olives. That's all. If you live by Lake Galilee, you might get some fish. Once a year at Passover, maybe some cooked lamb. The rest of the time, bread and olives. It is hardly surprising, then, that after the miracle of the loaves and fishes, the crowds came after Jesus. They wanted food. Jesus is exasperated and disappointed. Don't you see? This food doesn't keep. And in no time at all, you're hungry again. But I'm offering you something better. I'm offering you heaven-sent food which will satisfy all your yearnings. And that food is me. I am the bread of life. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will have no life in you. You should crave my flesh to eat and my blood to drink. This is scandalous. What could be more gruesome? Cannibalism is the ultimate human taboo. Of course, we know that in extreme situations, it happens. It's whispered about after a plane crash or a shipwreck or a prolonged siege. Cannibalism has been known, but always shunned, always shameful. The language Jesus uses here is macabre. It gets worse. In the Greek, eat my flesh is more like crunch my bones. So let's take a deep breath and a step back. Back to those words, I am the bread of life. In using the words I am, Jesus is invoking the holy name of God. When Moses encountered the burning bush in the desert, he asks the being inside the bush, what is your name? The answer, I am. So when Jesus uses the words I am, he is claiming the title, the holy name of God himself. Now, many ancient religions, primitive religions, have the belief that to possess a god, you must devour it. In fact, if you were listening yesterday morning to the radio, you might have heard that even today, in parts of Tanzania, cats and, unfortunately, albino human beings are at risk for that very reason. They're in danger of being killed and eaten to appropriate their divine power. It sounds appalling and crazy, but when we reflect on it, even at our own mundane, everyday human level, when we eat our normal food, that food doesn't remain what it starts off as. It doesn't remain meat and dairy and fish and so on. It becomes part of us. We digest it. It becomes part of our blood and our veins and sinews. It is transformed. Food gives us life. And Jesus is saying, I will give you divine life. Eat me, and I will live in you. Drink my blood, and you will live in me. And that life is not the fleeting life of this world. Jesus reminds his listeners that the ancient Israelites ate manna in the wilderness, food from heaven, which they ate in the desert. But they're all dead now. And Jesus is saying, eat of me, and you will partake of my life. I will suffuse you with ever-living divine life. Not surprisingly, many of his followers found Jesus' words intolerable, and they left. But at the Last Supper, the night before his cruel death, he repeated those words. He blessed the bread and said, this bread is my body, given for you. Take it, eat it, remember me. And then blessing the cup of wine, he said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood. Remember me. No doubt they were alarmed and puzzled. But a few days later, it all made sense. A few days later, after his death on the cross and after his resurrection, they understood. That sacred meal became the heart of their worship forever after. and it is at the heart of our worship too. Other faiths have other sages, Buddha, Confucius, Muhammad, Moses. Their teachings are profound, but none apart from Jesus claims to be God. None apart from Jesus surrenders himself to die. None but Jesus has risen from the dead. The heart of the Christian faith is more than Christ's teaching. It is the whole of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, all for us. Shortly, we will reverently, prayerfully, humbly share in Holy Communion. We will remind ourselves again that if we too put body, heart, and soul into trusting in Jesus, our cravings will be satisfied. We too will be raised into the richness and fullness of life with him forever. So we end the prayer. Gracious God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in you, as we journey towards your presence. Ever feed us with the bread of life. Amen.